give yourself to him.
Amen.
That it's not really about the things that we do, it's about our relationship with Yeshua. And sometimes Scripture seems to be contradictory, because there's Scriptures that talk about how you need to do works, and faith without works is dead. But when Scripture seems to be contradictory, you use other Scriptures to confirm what the true meaning of the Scripture is. In James, when it says, "I'll show you my faith by my works," it's talking about the works that we do among each other in the human realm. And the faith that we have is in God. But God, when he says that it's not about works, it's about your relationship with him, that's a different kind of works. That's the works we would do, you know, to please our Heavenly Father. So it's not really contradictory at all. I'm just going to read that scripture in James quickly, James 2, 14 through 24. What does it profit, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself is not, if it does not have works, is dead. It doesn't mean it's dead. It means it's destitute of any power or ability to change somebody's life or sow into somebody's life. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 22, do you see that faith working together with works, and by works faith is made perfect? So what I want you to take from that is that when you have faith in God, and he's in you, and you're in him, and you're abiding together as one, you have the kind of faith that's necessary to enable you to do works when the occasion arises, but you're not required to do it by some formula. It just rises up in you. I need to give to this poor person. I need to bless this family that is homeless. Whatever it is, it's your faith in God that enables you to do any kind of work in the world at all. And so let's just look at where I'm going with all this. The primary scripture for this message is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. And the word of God says, "Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil." God has already accepted your works. What does that mean? Faith without works is dead, James said. And now, in the Old Covenant scripture, you believe it was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said, God has already accepted your works. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works. In us, or it could say for us. So what this is saying is that it's not you who does the works, it's God in you that does the works, and he does the works in you and for you. John chapter 6, famous verse, John 6 verses 28 and 29. Every one of you should have this in your heart. "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" they said to him. Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Amen. If you believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for you, then you are doing the works of God.
Amen.
It's that simple. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." In other words, not by works, but by the free gift of God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That means that from the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, before you were conceived, God had works prepared for you that you should walk in them. Doesn't these scriptures kind of take the pressure off of you to do things and do works for God and know that he does the works in you? Your only work is to believe, and the works that you're going to do were already chosen beforehand that you should walk in them. And the most important thing is God has already accepted your works. Revelation 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." When it says rest from their labors, it means rest from the grief and toil of human effort. "And their works follow them," the Bible says. Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book." Didn't the Lord say to Daniel, "Close up the book, it's already been written"? And didn't Solomon say in Ecclesiastes, "God has already accepted your works"? And if your name is written in the book of life, nothing can, nobody, no human thing, no force of nature, no principality or power can blot it out. God has already accepted your works. Don't strive to do things for God and worry about that, but strive to have a personal, intimate relationship with God and realize that he's already done all our works for us and in us. And our work is to believe in the one that he sent. Now, the next part of the scripture I want to look at is, "Let your garments always be white." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." The white garments are the righteous acts of the saints. Amen. I'll read you some scriptures that illustrate that. Let's look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verses 22 through 24a. Isaiah 45, 22. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength." So you have righteousness if you're in Messiah. And the righteousness that you have in Messiah becomes the white garments that you are to never be without. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Adonai said, Kenu. Amen. The Lord is our righteousness. Our righteousness is in him. And because of that, we have white garments waiting for us in heaven. Isaiah 51:10. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? The Lord has declared and revealed and done in us all our righteousness already. And he says that my salvation will be forever and my righteousness will never be abolished. Your righteousness in him can never be abolished. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. In most Bibles, it's between Ezekiel and Hosea. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified, made white and refined. Those are the people who in the future will believe in the Messiah that is to come. They'll be made white by their faith in the living God, the one who came to die for them. In Romans 8, Paul writes an incredible description of the love of God. And he says this in verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded, that means I'm sure, I'm positive, I'm without doubt, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God and, of course, the righteousness of God that's in Yeshua our Lord. God has already accepted your works. He prepared them in advance. And through his own righteousness, we have a righteousness that gives us white garments that we never have to be without and that are waiting for us in heaven. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. I really want you to know that this is the word of God. It's not the word of me. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Revelation 3, verses 4 and 5. Revelation 3, 4 and 5. You don't have to worry about trying to keep up with this in your own Bible. It's all going to be on the podcast. You can take all the time you want to listen. Revelation 3, 4. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels in heaven. That's where your white clothes come in, folks. God will not blot out your name from the book of life when you're clothed in white. And Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, that's to John, the revelator, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you're a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, the blood of the Lamb is available for you to wash yourself white in. It's the most powerful blood that's ever been shed in the history of the world, and it'll never be undone. Revelation 19:8. Talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride of Messiah. To her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So see, you don't need to take my word for any of this. It's right in Scripture. You can read it over and over again for yourself until the Lord comes again. Now the last part is let your head lack no oil. Remember our verse is, God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white. Let your head lack no oil. The oil that it's talking about is the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, Isaiah 61, 1, Arise, shine, for your light, or that's 60. Let's go to 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. Isaiah, or Psalm 51, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. David had sinned before the Lord. The Lord sent a prophet to convict him of his sin, and David repented, and he was just grieved. And during his time of repentance, he wrote this psalm. He said, against you and you only have I sinned, Lord. But then when he said, create in me a clean heart, he knew that there was a time coming when the blood of Yeshua would cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness and our sin, and that his Holy Spirit would be available to everybody. It was poured out on Pentecost, the celebration that we're having here tonight. That's what made the Holy Spirit available to us. That's why we're cleansed and have white garments, and that's why we don't have to lack oil. Amen. Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. The oil of the Holy Spirit is precious. And without the anointed one, we would have no Messiah, we would have no salvation, we'd be without God in the world. Psalm 92, this is the last psalm. I'm going to read a couple of verses, 92:10. Psalm 92:10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now, this, to anoint with oil is to consecrate holy persons or holy things. It also is a sign that someone has been declared king. And it's important that we have a way, a means of renewing our own oil from time to time because of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. Remember, there were 10 virgins, and they all had lamps. Five of them took out all the oil that they needed, not knowing when the bridegroom would come, and five of them took a small amount of oil. The ones who were waiting expectantly and kept their eyes on the Lord and kept their focus on the coming of the bridegroom and kept themselves undistracted from the cares of the world received fresh oil when they did the things of God, when they were faithful to his calling, and they never ran out. And then when the bridegroom came, he took them into the wedding chamber, and they were a part of the wedding supper of the Lamb. But the foolish virgins got distracted by the cares of the world. They didn't have their oil renewed by the things that they did or didn't do. And when the bridegroom came and they had no oil, they said to the wise virgins, "Give us some of your oil, quick, he's coming." And they said, "I'm sorry, we only have enough for our own lamp." And the bridegroom said, "I'm not going to let you in." He closed the door and he said, "Be gone, I never knew you." You need to know how to obtain fresh oil. And it's when you are faithful to the things that God calls you to do. It's not about works, it's about your relationship with him. When you trust him, he gives you things to do so that he can see that it's a two-way street and he can trust you. And the more times you say yes to the little things that God asks you to do, the more oil you're conserving so that when you really need it, you won't run out. Our heads lack no oil when we are in Messiah, abiding in him, found in him, one with him. And the word Mashiach comes from anointed. And the word Christ comes from the Greek for anointed. The anointed one is the Messiah. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the one we need. So Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7 and 8 says, God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Obedience to God's word means we must have an intimate personal relationship with Yeshua. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. May the Spirit of the Lord never leave you without oil. May your garments always be white. And may you leave here tonight with a new understanding that God has already accepted your works. Stop striving to do things for God and start focusing on your relationship with the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.